This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Saturday to the East Coast, Kramer. I know you're celebrating.
Well done. Yep. We already wished happy Saturday to Nova Scotia. So well done. Well done.
Hey, if you're looking to expand your business, what better way than advertising right here on VSiN? That's right. Go to VSiN.com/advertise or advertising at VSiN.com. You got live TV, top-ranked podcasts, daily newsletters, ton of website traffic, and more than 400 radio affiliates nationwide. And of course, airing also on Sirius XM channel 158. Good way to get your message out there, courtesy of Mission Media. Get started today by going to VSiN.com/advertise or advertising at VSiN.com. Drop them a line to get started. Kramer, we got more NFL action.
Yeah, still got a handful of games to talk about. First up, we got the Patriots and the Jets. This is a rivalry game where we're seeing the road New England Patriots laying 13.5. Totals 43, Sean. The Jets, I guess they're just going to run out the season with Brady Cook, see what they got in them. Aaron Glenn's job completely safe. They did get rid of Steve Wilks, so that was a nice move. I love the Patriots to score a defensive touchdown in this game. At this point, I'm just going to play... I guess we have two more weeks, but just going to play the team playing the Jets because they give you the most opportunities right now. How do you feel about laying this big number, Sean?
Yeah, I guess I'll take it. I'll lay it with the Pats. I mean, tough to make a case for this Jets team, although they've been sneaky good against the number. I mean, 7-6 ATS. They've had some moments where they show up, but I don't know. I think it's almost worse for them that they're at home. Just playing in front of an empty crowd, you know, certainly maybe some booing. And Brady Cook, yeah, I get it. You want to see what you got in this guy, but I don't know, man. This is the Pats have been a wagon on the road, 7-0 straight up, 6-1 ATS. They need this game. Obviously, I think they're not afraid to run it up. Maybe even pad some numbers here for Drake May and his MVP campaign. Run it up for Vrabel and his Coach of the Year campaign. Now, if the Jets, you know, get a sneaky muff punt, a special teams touchdown, that's certainly in the realm of possibility. But the Jets just really don't generate turnovers. And it starts with their incredible streak of not getting an interception all season. So, I don't know. What are you seeing that would make you want to change? It's crazy. For comparison, the team with the second amount of interceptions, and there's a few teams who have 6 interceptions. Jets have 0. It boggles the mind that they haven't accidentally gotten an interception. Maybe they get right here. Maybe all the turnover regression happens in one game, and that's how they win and or cover against the Pats. I just don't see it. It's tough to make a case for this Jets team who – it feels like they're finally feeling the losses defensively on top of Brady Cook, who's just clearly not the guy right now.
Yeah, I think they've I'm taking the points because whether you want to compare this to the Chiefs Broncos game, I think there's a chance we don't get the super game plan. I like your angle with the Drake May, you know, prop him up in the MVP, but I think there is a chance we don't get the full A-plus game plan here. And, you know, if you tell me this game ends up being a sleepy, you know, 13-point game, 10-point game, I'm fine with that. Last time they played, it was 27-14. I understand there were some differences back then, but I'll be the donkey. I guess donkeys don't typically take 13.5-point home dogs. It's Dominic the Donkey. And shout out to Dominic. Hopefully Dominic had a Merry Christmas. If, for those who didn't grow up in the Northeast, great Italian Christmas music. Sean?
Love me some Italian Christmas donkeys with Dominic.
We're going to talk we're going to talk about game.
I forgot. You're on the Jets. You're crazy.
Yes. I think your
Jags love is clouding your vision here.
possibly this might have nothing to do with the Jags' path to the one seed, or maybe it's sprinkled in here. It's layered in, as they say. It's not a game I'm dying to watch, but I am going to take the big number, and let's hope it ends 13 again, and we can all or I'll be a winner. You won't be a winner. Giants Raiders. The winner is the loser in this one. That's why the Raiders are shutting it all down. I'm surprised they're not going to roll out. Maybe this is the game you see what you got in your quarterback depth. I don't know. Aiden O'Connell hasn't seen the field in a while. That might be an upgrade. Raiders.
No, honestly, I know you're joking, but why haven't we seen Aiden O'Connell? Like, I was not. I mean, talk to Raiders fans. They want to see him. I wasn't completely out on Aiden O'Connell. He had some bright spots, and he is a young quarterback. Like, honestly, I would not blame the Raiders from letting Aiden O'Connell. I don't know what his injury situation is, but I wouldn't blame them for playing Aiden O'Connell and kind of, I mean, that actually kind of makes sense. Whether you're trying to tank or not, Aiden O'Connell playing, why would you not want to see how he looks in this situation?
I mean, maybe they know he's too good and he might get the win. It doesn't make sense. This was 1.5 when we discussed it on Tuesday for the Raiders. Now the Giants are laying the 2.5. To your point, if you're going to shut down Brock Bowers and you're going to shut down Max Crosby, why are you running Geno Smith out there? Is Kenny Pickett really the future? It does seem like what you're saying would make a lot more sense. As far as what is going to happen in this game, you know, I don't, there's no other pieces that can be pulled in terms of shutting guys down that I'm aware of. Maybe we'll find the Giants pull a couple guys out with pregame warmup injuries. But I was on the Raiders when I said I couldn't trust this Giants team to put forth a winning offensive game plan. And then the Raiders did what they did over the last couple of days. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I love the Daniel Bellinger anytime touchdown. And, you know, I guess gun to my head, I'll take the Raiders here.
Yeah, Raiders in the points. Again, I asked you to take a look at the Circa tie market, because if there was, it was 60-1, I think Circa had it. If there's any game that's going to end in a tie, it might be this Raiders-Giants game. So having the 2.5 points might be the difference. Geno Smith against the secondary, even without Brock Bowers, might be able to throw the football here a little bit. Colton Miller, him not playing, I think he was limited in practice. Then they didn't play him. So
yeah,
this is a weird game. I know the management doesn't want them to win, but the Raiders are at home. I mean, come on. I don't know what to make of this game. The scariest part of all of these, as far as like the players playing or not, the game plan I saw offensively from Kafka and what they did or didn't do against the Vikings, I know they'll probably let Jackson Dart throw it a few more times against this Raiders team, but that was not a team trying to win. The Raiders effort I saw against the Texans, those guys were trying. That was an attempt at winning the game.
You're insane now. They're shutting their guys down, though. Like the guys that were trying are getting shut down. Max Crosby's not playing in this game.
Sure. Ashton Jeanty is playing. Geno Smith is playing. I get it. We're splitting hairs here, but I do think Raiders in the points, agreeing with you, Ryan, is the play. Give me the Raiders as the home dog here.
I will say the Giants defense was playing hard last week, so hopefully Geno decides to not throw it to the wrong team. All right. And again, I'm going to have to do this weird thing where I explain to my kids after the Giants lose how this is a good thing. Now the Giants, maybe in a perfect scenario, are able to trade down to 2 and then trade down again and get all the picks in the world. I'm looking ahead to the offseason. Eagles, Bills.
Who's going to be the GM for that?
Hopefully not Joe Shane. I mean, he's too busy taking pictures with his kid on the sideline at Don Bosco Prep. Maybe sort out your kicking situation. My goodness.
Another reason to take the Raiders.
Well, yeah, we the lefty kicker was 2 for 2 last week. Eagles, okay. Bills. Eagles are catching now 1 point. In Buffalo, Josh Allen will play. That tells you that the Bills are trying to win this game because they still have a path to get the division. And the Eagles, meanwhile, I think the motivation around them playing hard is because they want to continue the momentum. They want to get the offense right going into the playoffs. I understand all that. But there's also this element of they're banged up. They're not running Lane Johnson out there. The defense is still going to play hard, but will we get the same effort, or will we get the same, is Barkley going to play the whole game? Are we expecting Jalen Hurts even to play the whole game? I would say that there's enough doubt to me in terms of Philly's effort in this one that I'm going to lay it with Buffalo.
Yeah, I think the effort's going to be there. And the fact that they're bringing Jalen Carter back from injury, he's going to be a go. And I think that's going to be huge. And I just look at the Jordan Davis and this defense. This defense has no other speed but 100%. I think this defense is going to do a very good job clamping down on the Bills. And on the Eagles side, part of their success has been getting the running game here going a little bit. And you look at the running backs against the Bills, that is just a nightmare situation for the Bills. Even if we see some Tank Bigsby, which I think we'll see regardless, but I wouldn't be surprised if, he's good for like a handful of carries. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few more than normal from Tank Bigsby, considering how well he's running and the fact that they have got the running game going here a little bit. And you look at that Browns game, another game where the Bills are up for it, but Judkins and a lot of the running backs were having success. Eventually, Shadur cost them, and not having Judkins late, I think, certainly cost them. But with Barkley and with Bigsby, I think they're going to have some nice opportunities against this Bills defense, which just continues to struggle. The linebackers are a real weakness point, and the defense in general. So I think the Birds are playing to win. Give me the Eagles as a dog here.
So just confirmation, zero snaps from Tanner McKee on Sunday?
You look at the Raiders game. He got in late. So, yeah, if they're winning by margin, which is a possibility, we could see some Tanner McKee. But certainly they won't be punting this game. Expect Jalen Hurts out there, assuming the score is competitive. Eagles roll, baby. More NFL picks when we return. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
I just walked outside, got accosted by a couple of fans who are also Giants fans. So didn't get their names, but I told them I'd see them at the craps table after the show.
Dude, who are they betting on? You think they're betting Giants or Raiders? Now, I know you picked, Ryan, for the show, the Raiders, because you want to, keep your ATS record intact. But will you be holding a Giants ticket in any way, shape, or form?
No, I'll have anytime touchdowns. I might have some props, but yeah, hard to trust either one of these teams right now.
All right, a couple primetime games. What are we looking at?
Well, we got a couple good ones. I think the Sunday night game is electric, and I think it's a game that people have been missing a bit of the handicap on. Bears travel to the Bay to take on the Niners. Niners on a little bit of a short week coming off that nice win over Phillip Rivers. We don't want to call him a carcass yet, but boy, does he look old. I would imagine that's probably what we would look like if we were out on a field with NFL athletes, but his lateral quickness, his ability to get, what you can tell when someone's out of shape is how they get off the ground. He looks like he's got to do one of those like roll forwards to get himself up. Bears are catching three here in the Bay, +150 on the money line. I know a lot of people are pointing out that the Niners, all they got to do is keep winning and they'll be the one seed. And we know once they make the playoffs, they're a lock to make the conference championship game. Not so fast. This is a tough matchup for them. Their defense has been horrible. No one's talking about what their defense looked like last week. They're on the short week. Chicago, meanwhile, they're riding high. Sure, you could say there's some emotion flowing through this building, but I think they feel confident on the offensive side. Even without Burden and Adunze, it's really about DJ Moore and the whole offseason. Sean, you remember, they couldn't figure out what he's going to be. They got him in the backfield. They seem to have figured that piece of the puzzle out. The running game's working and the defense is playing hard. I understand why they're a dog here, but give me all the points. Give me the money line. I love Chicago.
Yeah, no, I like the Bears a lot. And it's not only a short week for San Francisco, but the Bears get that extra day of rest as well. And maybe it's a letdown off of, clinching a playoff berth in Lambeau, big win. I get it. But those two extra days, I think, will do a lot to help reset them. And I just look at this Bears offense. They keep figuring out. And in general, the Bears just keep figuring out ways to win close games. They remind me a lot of Washington last year, where kind of a surprise team, young head coach, young quarterback going on a run, everything bouncing the right way, converting a bunch of high leverage spots. I think this is a good opportunity for this Bears. And the Bears defense really has been doing a great job. They generate those turnovers. I mean, sure, Malik Willis randomly fumbled, but that's just kind of how it goes. When the turnover ball is bouncing your way, it seems to continue, at least in season. I think the Bears are going to get the turnover. Even in what should have just been a rout, Brock Purdy still turned it over late there with the pick. And I just look at that San Francisco defense. The San Francisco defense, they're kind of like the Bills in a lot of ways, where it's just like, man, eye test. This is not a defense that can win a Super Bowl. I would just be very shocked if their defense doesn't catch up to them eventually. Now, in their defense, a lot of it is injuries, but whatever's going on in San Francisco, these injuries just keep compounding for them. So I think it's going to be a big difference. And the Bears defense has done a much better job with their injuries and, figuring that out versus the 49ers. So I'm with you. I understand why they're a dog, but man, I think they're going to be live for this game 100%. So, yeah, give me the Bears and the points, and I think they're live on the money line as well.
Yeah, Kittle banged up. I think the case against them is it's back to motivation. They're a little bit locked into the two or the three, basically. But I put a little bit of go ahead.
They still have to win the division.
True. Absolutely. Again, we'll know the Green Bay result. Green Bay winning obviously helps with that. But I think in general, listening to the tone of the coaching staff, this doesn't strike me as a team that views their accomplishment as let's get ready for the postseason. They're still building. Ben Johnson is still talking about the evolution of the offense, talking about the development. And so I don't think they're going to take an opportunity to against the playoff team to kind of measure yourself. I'm going to put a little bit of that motivation to the side here just because I'm bought into what the coaches are saying.
Seattle has the, according to these percentages, whatever those mean, but Seattle 47% chance at the one seed, Niners 27%, but the Bears are right there at 14%. So even if they do clinch the NFC North with the Packers loss, I still think they're going to be fired up to get that one seed. So I don't think motivation's going to be a huge issue for this Bears team.
Yeah, and strangely, it's like they would then need San Francisco to beat Seattle the next week for them. So, like you said, it's still there. I'm just pointing out that even if the motivation was a question, I don't think the coaching staff views that as a good option at this point. Wouldn't be the first time I've been lied to by an NFL head coach, though. Monday Night Football is a very interesting game. Rams-Falcons, the Rams are laying 8. Now, the Falcons are similar to the Bengals, this team that's just going to come on strong down the stretch. They're playing well. It's meaningless. It's Kirk Cousins. It makes a lot of sense, right? The stakes are low. They're finally performing. But this Rams team, and again, if the San Francisco 49ers beat the Bears, it's one scenario, which basically if Seattle and San Francisco win, Rams are locked into the 5 seed. Now, things change a little bit if San Francisco loses, which we both think is going to happen. But for the Rams to be laying 8 here against this Falcons team on the road in a situation that could see we could see the motivation shift a little bit, but also just looking at these two teams, I don't see a Rams team that is going to come in for blood and try to run the score up here. And I do see a Falcons team that has performed well at home at times. And Kirk Cousins is trying to get a job, and it might be the Falcons job for next year.
You like that?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think Falcons make a game out of this. I feel like 8 points is a lot, especially The Falcons offense has kind of figured things out here, and you know, Drake London being back certainly helps them. And the Rams defense, which was supposed to be so good, they really fell apart there in the second half. And Ryan, I don't think you even mentioned it, the Rams fired their special teams coordinator after that punt return for a touchdown. First coordinator to be fired by Sean McVay. Usually they just go on to much bigger and better jobs. So certainly some questions there. And this Falcons team kind of reminds me of the Bengals. Like, hey, the pressure's off. Time for Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, all these guys to shine. Defensively, again, the defense has kind of not been bad. Now, certainly it's always a little scary betting on Kirk Cousins and Raheem Morris, but look what they did on that Thursday night game against the Bucs as a big dog. You mentioned the motivation, and let's be real. Like, the Rams have been pretty aggressive. If you recall, I think it was maybe it was even last year or the year before, they were resting guys, even though they could seemingly help their wild card spot there a little bit. So they have a veteran team. You have the lingering back issues with Stafford, which, knock on wood, have not slowed him down at all. Now, maybe he doesn't want to play. I don't know how much he cares about MVP, but if the other teams break the certain way, you could be facing a motivation thing here. Now, the case for the Rams is obviously they're a much better team. They have the extra rest. They are coming off a loss. Usually McVay he's one of the better coaches coming off a loss ATS. I'm just with you, though. Home dogs over 7 points in the NFL. You want to talk about a strong trend. Home dogs, Monday Night Football, 7+, regardless of situation. You're not going to go broke taking those. So, yeah, give me the Falcons +8.
And to your point on McVay, I mean, we love to fade McVay in the preseason because he doesn't necessarily care about the games that don't matter. So it's a good take, and we've seen him rest before. But here's my question. If we find out the Rams are locked into the 5 seed before this game is played, what do you think the number goes to?
That's a good question. And I guess, would we get any insight as to whether or not they're playing their starters, right? So like really where you get screwed is like somewhere in between where, all right, they let Stafford play the first half. Maybe they're up a little bit. Maybe they don't play him the full game. That's where you really get in trouble, because they would still say, oh, hey, Stafford's still starting, et cetera, but maybe they pull him early. Ryan, my question to you is, my Puka Nacua 20-1 Offensive Player of the Year ticket, which seemingly was dead, came back to life because of that Thursday night game and the crazy numbers he put up. Does that still have a pulse after this game?
He could have a good game, even if they only play him for a half. If that scenario does play out, if it doesn't play out, he's going to have a big game. And if you want some actionable betting information, I would say if we find out that they don't need the game, I would circle Ronnie Rivers 17-1 on the anytime market. He's their third string running back. Very interesting.
Good nugget as always. Hey, when we return, we'll talk parlays. That's right. Paper ticket parlays when we return. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VC.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSIN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
It's a little different doing the measurements by myself. Almost almost feels like I'm in a fishbowl and people are about to pay to watch me do something.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, we're going to pay to watch you give out a sweet parlay. Of course, my Moneyline round robin was profitable last week, 2-1 on the three legs. Unfortunately, the big leg, the Cleveland Browns, didn't get home, but did have the Steelers on the money line with the Chargers on the money line in the money line round robin. And again, 2-1 was always going to be profitable in that combo. So nice little change bank for me, but obviously would have liked the Browns to take that home. Although they were kind of live in that game for a decent chunk there.
Yeah. Nice shot. I feel like you should just stick to the money line round robins. Have you lost the money line round robin this year?
I think I've done it. Yeah, no, I definitely have at least one I lost. But the one I had with the Vikings and who else? It was like Vikings, Panthers, and Panthers won outright in Green Bay. Vikings won outright, Vikings won outright in Detroit, and then the Pats got by. The Falcons missing the extra point cost me a mega cash on that one. So yeah, I know, and that one paid 30-1, even going 2-1. So I've been knocking on the door here with these money line round robins.
All right, would you like to go first or second?
Sure, I'll go first. Not playing the money line round robin this week, although maybe check out the pregame show. Maybe I can talk myself into one here. My first leg of my paper ticket parlay.
Hold on. This is like a long distance dedication. I got to get the, all right.
There you go. What am I clocking in at?
A little bit over six.
That's plenty. Yeah, give me the Bengals laying the 7 against the Cardinals. I know it's chalky as hell, but that Cardinals defense is just horrific. Give me the Saints laying 2.5. Again, fading the Titans, awful win. I am full shucklehead mode right now. Hopefully, knock on wood, he keeps plugging away here. Offensive rookie of the year could be an amazing cash. Need Ted McMillan to not have a good game against Seattle, which is certainly possible. And also, we just broke down these next two games. So give me the Bears as a money line dog, winning this outright in San Francisco. Again, the Bears just keep figuring out ways to win. As simplistic as it is, their defense is great. They create turnovers. Caleb Williams is the most confident I've seen him right now, hitting some big-time throws. I think they can carve up this 49ers offense. That's a nice plus 150 on the money line. And just in case, the Atlanta Falcons are live Monday night. Get it home as the home dog, plus 360 on the money line. We've seen the Rams fall apart on the road against an NFC South team. The Carolina Panthers a couple weeks earlier. So hopefully that gets home as well. $100 tickets would return you $42.86.35. So a nice tip coming the way of the circuit. We'll say $86.35. All yours, ticket writers.
Nice.
Yes.
Sorry, I got distracted. The one of the TVs on in the studio is flashing up the Ben Johnson highlight that he only that they have 6 wins when trailing inside of 2 minutes. And I was,
yeah, well, again, some people are saying, oh, that's a good reason to fade them. What do you mean? They have 6 wins when they've been trailing and the spread's 3. They're going to figure out a way to eke out a victory against the 49ers.
All right, here we go. I got to be honest, a little bit longer than you as per usual.
Yeah. But will it hit?
I'm in my usual length. I've been pretty consistent with my just under 7 inches. We'll call it 7 inches this year. 5 legs. Okay. I'm with you on Cincinnati laying the 7. Very feels like a simple solution, but I just, they're a team. I wouldn't mind. I'm probably going to be betting them the last 2 weeks of this. It will definitely this week and probably next week too. Bucks minus 6. Again, we differ on this one. I think this could be a similar blowout as the Dolphins last week. Jags minus 5.5. Come on. The Jag wagon's rolling. I'm getting a piece of it against Phillip Rivers here. And then we have the Browns plus 3. A little curveball. Got to, you know, sometimes you got to feed the parlay a little bit of meat. That's what the Browns are here at plus 3. And then the final leg, I'm with you, but I have the Falcons plus the 8. 200 will return 51.04. And I got to be honest, Sean, I've been tipping when I make bets. I tip when I win. Right now, I'm pretty much, I feel like I'm at least friends with 2 of the ticket writers. If they see me outside of their job, they'll say what's up. So I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job tipping all the time, but that's got to be a nice tip. When that comes home, that's at least $100 tip.
Here you go. Lock it up. Now, Kramer, the Browns plus 3. What are you doing there? Come on. Go Browns money line. What, in what scenario? You're playing for a push there, feels like, with the Browns.
No. You tell me Tomlin can't win a game by a point or two, Sean? Come on. That was my thought exactly. Was this is an AFC North game that involves Mike Tomlin. There's going to be a missed extra point. There's going to be a field. Like, this is a 21-19 game. That's my prediction. I don't know how they get there, but 21-19.
Are you worried that the Steelers do lock things up and then Mason Rudolph starts and we have a Mason Rudolph revenge game that destroys your parlay?
No, I think that would make me feel better. I think that would make me feel better. And I think what a better way for Myles Garrett to set the record than with Mason Rudolph being the one he's either way, right? Aaron Rodgers, you have the Brett Favre parallels. Mason Rudolph, you have the Myles Garrett revenge hero story. No one loses, I think. He's going to break the record. That's the one thing I know for sure. I saw his sack prop for the game is minus 200.
That's insane. Yeah, and it would be interesting if he goes down in a similar fashion as what happened with your boy when he got the sack title. Well, and will there be any controversy, Ryan?
Well, first of all, Garrett did get one of his sacks recently was on a play where I think it was C.J. Stroud just went down. No, it was
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, you're right, Josh Allen. And listen, go back. I dare you to rewatch the play where Brett Favre gets sacked. Strahan was coming unblocked. He was going to get sacked one way or another. I think Brett Favre was doing the old guy trick. So I think we have some revisionist history. I know the offensive lineman made some hay, a little viral video, getting all mad about that. But yeah, no, I Brett Favre, but I think, you know, any way that he gets it, Myles Garrett is clearly having one of the greatest seasons ever.
Now, wait, Kramer, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you put the Jags in your parlay?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, you have to include your Jags.
Oh, they're in there. They're in there. Okay. They are 100% in there. We're like on the road to 13-4. I do have a bonus tail of the tape.
Oh, toss out the bonus one.
Well, I won't show the front of the tickets. I don't want to advertise other books, but.
Oh, wow. How dare you, Ryan?
They put a lot of extra juice on their parlays. What's this? What is this? I mean,
it's like a flat. It's a 9 inches, Ryan.
And this is only four legs. Four guys just to score a touchdown on Sunday and Saturday, or Sunday and Monday. Player one, Mike Evans against the Dolphins. We know he's good for one. His anytime price is plus 140, Sean. I assume you'll be on it as well. Yes.
Crazy.
It was the same last week, and he scored. Player number two, Trey McBride, in what could be called the greatest matchup for a tight end ever. He's plus 110 going against the Bengals. Then we jump to Sunday Night Football, where Kyle Monungai against this Niners 24th DVOA, 26th EPA per play, rush defense. Kyle Monungai is plus 140 to score a touchdown. And then the last leg, sometimes I'll do this with the last leg being a little chalkier. I almost went Tyler Allgeier, which made me have to do a second version of this with Tyler Allgeier, but Bijan Robinson. Again, those four guys, Mike Evans, Kyle Monungai, Trey McBride, Bijan Robinson, all find the end zone, plus 1917. 20-1, okay. Basically.
Now, what's that last Bijan like?
Minus 135.
Yeah, so all in the, like, well, minus 135, but the rest are all plus money, but under 2-1.
Yeah, plus 130 for Evans, plus 140 for Evans, plus 140 for Monungai, and plus 110 for McBride.
Are you going to give out Bijan first touchdown for your Monday night card? I know you like some chalky plays.
If they give me an 8-1, sure. If not, I'll be on Allgeier.
Tyler Allgeier. Yeah, they love him near the goal line. But Bijan breaking off some runs. Again, like this Rams defense can be exploited. I know it sounds a little crazy, but they just let up 38 to Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that offense dynamic, but we'll see. Hey, when we return, we close things out with our best bets. Don't want to miss it. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack of the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Excellent show, Sean.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, flew by. Can't believe it's already final segment. Can't believe we got two NFL Saturday games. Where are you going to be watching the games tomorrow, Ryan?
Great question. Up in the air. I've heard talk of they're shopping, so finding a restaurant or bar or sports book near wherever the shopping is taking place. You know, sometimes daddy has to go off and work a little bit, you know, check on some betting numbers. They know when I'm going to the they know when I'm going to a kiosk, it means I'm doing some sort of work. So
daddy's got to work this kiosk, paper tickets. You know, maybe you'll be at a Sephora watching on your phone, having fun there, checking out the Caesar shops. A lot of malls to be had in Vegas, Ryan. So great opportunity to spend your Saturday with the fam doing some shopping. I'm going to be grinding out some games here. All right, best bets, and we got a bunch of them here, of course. Let's get started. For me, first up, we got the Cincinnati Bengals laying the 7. I keep looking at this. I understand it's chalky as hell, but man, I'm gonna take this. It to me, it's just more a fade of this Cardinals defense, which looks completely cooked. The Green Bay Packers laying the 3. Malik Willis, I just think Malik Willis is going to use this opportunity well, and I keep fading the Baltimore Ravens. Why not keep it going here? Give me the Packers laying the 3 at home. Also like the Saints laying the 2.5 on the road. Love fading the Titans off a win. That feels really good. And the Chicago Bears, I think they're live on the money line. Give me them to win outright as a dog. Plus 150 on the money line. A couple props here. Luke Musgrave. I know I gave out 2 touchdowns, but let's get his anytime at 6-1 on there. That's a fun play. Also like Tank Bigsby, anytime touchdown, 10-1. And a couple of college games we broke down with CJ, Texas Tech on the money line, plus 110. And the Indiana Hoosiers win by margin against Alabama. Give me Indiana laying the 6.5. Kramer, assume you have a ton of best bets.
Not as many as normal. It was a shortened week for us on the content side, doing holiday stuff. Didn't do quite the prop list that I normally have, mostly just touchdowns at this point. But I'll start with college. You mentioned it. We're all on Texas Tech. Shout out to the Red Raiders. Plus 110 on the money line. I'm kind of surprised they're not getting bet here as the dog. I also like Indiana. I think Alabama is fortunate to be where they are. I wasn't impressed with the victory, and I think this could be, if they had college football pleasers, Sean, I would propose we take Indiana in a rout. And then I'll throw in another one. I know I said you're supposed to fade the teams that aren't supposed to be there and won. I stayed away from that Ohio State-Miami game on Friday night, but I will jump into the Georgia Ole Miss game. Kind of a similar narrative, right? No one believes in us. A lot of people taking Tulane. Ole Miss comes out and rolls. Give me Georgia. I think Georgia is going to give them a little bit of the SEC medicine here. Georgia head and shoulders over most teams in the conference. Another 6.5 point line. I feel like I'm on all the donkey plays here, but I like it too much. NFL sides, I was on a little bit of a heater earlier in the year, Sean, and it was when I was taking 7 sides. I almost went to the window with only 6 this week, but I think our conversation has convinced me I'll do a rare go back to the window, take the Green Bay Packers laying the points. I got a little bit nervous because, you know, like I said, the 2.5 in pocket. I like the paper ticket in the pouch to go as well. At -3, I'll join you. Bengals -7 again. This is probably, if I don't have access to pleasers, I'm looking for alt numbers on the Bengals here. Bucks -6. Again, I think it's a similar route scenario as the Bengals against the Dolphins last week. Give me the Seattle Seahawks -7. Another road team laying some heavy chalk. I don't think the Panthers are going to have it this week. Every other week, as Sean said, Jags -5.5. The Jag wagon is flying down the tracks. Get out of the way. And by the way, wow. And by the way, Trevor Lawrence is a weapon with his legs, so says Liam Cohen, coach of the year favorite in my eyes. Sunday night, give me the Bears +3. Monday night, give me the Falcons +8. I'm going to cook up a little primetime money line parlay, basically carve off a half of what I'm going to cut Sean's tail of the tape right in half. Give me the two money line dogs on prime time. Reminder, the pleaser, we're playing bubble 11, Bengals -14.5, bubble 19, Saints -9.5, bubble 22, Dolphins -1.5, 25-1 there. Here are the anytime touchdowns I have in pocket as we sit here today. Malik Willis, anytime, +350. Daniel Bellinger, anytime, +750. Trey McBride, anytime, +110. Two touchdowns, 8-1. Mike Gesicki, anytime, +275. Two touchdowns, 27-1. Defensive, anytime, round robin, 415-1. Jags, 7-1. Patriots, 7-1. Bengals, +550. Standalone defensive anytime touchdown I'm going to get in on is the Falcons on Monday night. Sean, you're not going to believe it. In a scenario where we could get Jimmy G, they're going to give us 11-1 on the defensive anytime touchdown for a Falcons team that has been so close for us all season. And that's all I got.
Juicy card there, Kramer, as always. Hey, real quick, I'm gonna be talking to you here in a second about some Saturday first touchdown. What's cooking on your Saturday first touchdown card? I know you have some paper tickets circled already. I know I'm definitely gonna be on the Packers Musgrave. I think He's sitting there at like 22-1. What else is on your card there for Saturday, first touchdowns? Of course, we're all going to be following you on X at Kramer Centric, red hot handicapper himself, Ryan Kramer. But give people an early look as to what you might be giving out here on Saturday.
High praise coming from Mr. Matt Humans. I have a lot of pressure here. Very, very on point. Here's what I would say. With the first game, I don't have... I'll be playing the quarterbacks in the Chargers Texans game. I don't know what else I'll be playing there. Herbert is about, I think, around 20-1. CJ Stroud, you can find as high as 50-1 out there. I also like the Ravens and Packers also playing the quarterbacks. They're both 20-1 right now. I like your Musgrave angle at 22-1. I'm also going to be playing the Isaiah Likely at 30-1. So in the Ravens Packers, to reiterate, it's quarterbacks, Huntley and Willis, tight ends, Musgrave and Likely.
And I just checked on the Circa app. They don't have Malik Willis listed. So that would go under field.
I'm going to have to get down digitally there where widely available 20-1s, unfortunately. I can't, which it breaks my ability to parlay, which I'm a little nervous of. So, you know, but yeah.
But I don't know, at 20-1 versus 14-1 and you got the field, is that not okay value?
Well, I'll tell you why I would sell myself on it here at the Circus specifically, because field includes defensive players. And So you're basically getting, you know, Malik Willis
random special teams guys as well. I don't know if the third tight end there behind Musgrave is listed as well. So there's some other guys that might be able to get in there.
I think you're mostly just getting juice off of the, you know, I think if I, you know, do the math, you get a 20-1, you get a 40-1, whatever that might be, plus the special team stuff, assuming it's not one of the players listed. Now you're making it so I have to play it, because if I don't play it and then a random special teamer gets the touchdown,
you'll never hear the end of it, Ryan.
I'm never going to hear the end of it.
Coming up, of course, stay locked to VSiN all Saturday long. Why? Well, of course, you got a bunch of great content, starting with our buddy, Ben Stevens, of course, filling in there for our buddy Tim Murray. Ben Stevens really knows his college football. Great guy as well. Tune into VSiN's Tailgate Show, hosted by Ben Stevens, starting at 9 a.m. East, followed by Live Bet Saturday at noon, and then closing it out with Ready, Set, Bet at 6 o'clock. Ryan, before we leave, final score. Giants, Raiders, you're going to the game. What do you like?
24, 21, Raiders kick a game-winning field goal as time expires.
Who's on your first touchdown card for that game? Give us one name.
Well, besides Daniel Bellinger, Jackson Dart. Free Jackson Dart, baby. Let's go.
Big thanks to all our guests and producer Johnny behind the glass. All our guests, of course, just being CJ Sullivan. Give him a follow over on X at CJ Sullivan _. And of course, as always,
thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Let it ride.